Hello, everybody. Today is Thursday, July 25th, and school starts here in 3 weeks. Oh, my gosh.
Oh my gosh.
This is the 8 o'clock. I know. Got to take kids to college and everything. Sorry. Okay, this is the 8 o'clock Eastern time PSS call. And this week we are talking about transparency and openness, which is really cool stuff. And let's see, Melanie just checked in, and we're going to go ahead and celebrate it. And began rant. And Maria, welcome. Would you please check in and celebrate?
Hi, Diane.
I'm Jeremy.
Let's see. Oh, Jeremy, hi. Sorry. For some reason, you sound so much like Diane.
It just depends on the week.
It's actually one
I take that as a compliment.
And they just pretend to have different names, but it's okay.
We do.
Yeah,
we're all one person. That's so funny, because I'm like a full foot and a half taller than both Diane and Elaine. They would just think
that's
awesome. Wow. I would love to be petite sometime.
Oh, shoot.
Well, welcome. Okay. Tell us what's going on. Celebrate. Check in.
Oh, my gosh. So I need to go in the other room here.
Okay.
And I'm just trying to get my head wrapped around everything.
Out of the way of here.
Oh, gosh, I had to do a celebration. So celebrating, just having a pretty good summer. We've had a great summer. We've just been, the last couple weeks, just hanging out around the house, doing this and that, just trying to have some time with my daughter before she goes back to school, which for us is a week and a half, not 3 weeks.
Oh my God.
And,
a week and a half? Really? Wow.
Yes. August 7th for us. So I'm kind of in that dread. I'm actually kind of in that dread mode. I'm like, celebration, dig deep, Maria. Come on, let's celebrate like the small things, you know.
Yeah,
we got a lot of laundry
something
today. I can celebrate that.
Yeah, that's a good celebration.
And my daughter helped out and everything. She's made, like, we've talked about some kind of big decisions for the year coming up, which have us both a little bit anxious. And we think, so she's in a dance company and trying to decide whether she was going to go forward or not. And I pretty much thought after I looked at the fall schedule that she was going to go, I'm done, I'm out. And part of me wanted her to say that. And the other part of me said, oh, I don't want to see her stop dancing, but I'm going to let her decide because ultimately it's, all the stress
her
on her. And
So
she decided she wanted
to
do
her
it.
There.
And I have to get her there. Oh, yes, and I have a lot of volunteer work, lots of time, money, and effort on my end. But, it's all good. And, so we will.
But she decided she wanted to stick with it, huh?
She did. She wants to do it for one more year, and
one more year.
So the artistic director's talking like, oh, she's going to go on, but that's how they all talk, just because
right.
It's a pre-professional ballet company. Yeah. That's the mindset. And that's what it needs to be, so in order to be successful with it. So we know that it's not going to be a lifelong career or a desire for her, and I'm perfectly fine with that. And so our approach is, do it the best you can and give it 110%. And so I said, if you don't want to do it, that's fine. I said, it's got to be your decision. And she says, no, I really want to do it. And I'm like, okay. So
there you go. Yeah.
I'm celebrating
perfect.
That.
And you got buy-in and you guys had a conversation about it and you came to the decision. I mean, you let her make the final choice. And I think that's awesome. I think that's definitely cause for celebration. Making a decision and doing laundry.
It is. Even though I still have a little bit of a sick feeling in my stomach because, all the trepidation of what's to come, all the unknowns.
So do you want to take aim on that today? Do you want to kind of we can kind of drill down on that if you want a little bit as we move forward in the call and take aim on that sick feeling and kind of what's behind it if you'd like.
Oh, well, sure, we could.
Or the heavy thought.
The heavy thought. It's just a lot of, I go through a lot of overwhelm. Just, am I doing the right thing? Am I moving in the right direction? I wanted to have her retested, you know, this summer, and we've mm-hmm. just had a lot of things that came up in addition to mm-hmm. our vacation that we went on, and so I have not been as much on the ball with that. And then I get so overwhelmed with the thought of, you know, who do I
have to do?
You know, yeah, who do I, you know, who do I find in my area? Are they credible? Are they, you know, because I've listened to and done so much research since she was initially tested that, mm-hmm. and I don't even know if that person's still there. I need to get her number and call
yeah.
her back and everything. But, you know, it's just a lot. So I'm
it's
just
a lot. It's a lot.
Yeah.
So it almost sounds like
and just
care.
Oh yeah, it's a self. Yeah, part of it is self care, and that's a whole nother. Whole
it
nother
is
issue,
indeed.
But, issue. And it's definitely on the front burner as much as possible.
Yeah.
So,
okay. All right. Melanie, what do you want to take aim on?
What do I want to take aim on? I think I need to keep taking aim on self-management because that's where it rubber meets the road.
So I'm going to challenge you on that because you're out in the yard pulling weeds right now because you're cranky, you told me.
Yes. Yes.
And you don't want to take it out on the kids. So what? That sounds like you're doing a good job of managing to me. Is there another aspect to this?
Well,
kind
I mean,
of,
I think, I mean, when I say that, I mean making goals for continuing to manage myself across the weekend because I am expecting a parental visit starting tomorrow, but it's the usual kind of uncertainty because said parental visit is wildly affected by untreated ADHD. We take travel plans with a very large grain of salt.
Okay. Got it. Based on experience, I assume.
Based on, yes, way too many years of painful experience.
Okay. And so we were taking aim on self-management of
self-management
travel plans
of
or family.
Uncertainty and other and around self-management around the uncertainty and poor regulation of others. That I will be trying to manage during this weekend, which is heightened by somebody's excitement about getting bigger and being older. But, yeah.
Okay. So we're controlling what we can control.
But despite the progress that interoception has brought us, which I'm not sneezing at, it is delightful, it is joyful, it is to celebrate. Interoception is, like, totally awesome and rocking my life. My new favorite
yeah.
concept and topic, but
mm-hmm.
it's still, I am not looking forward to this weekend.
Okay, we can work with that. Transparency and openness is the topic for today, interestingly enough.
You bet.
Yep. And gosh, you know, it seems like such a straightforward thing, right? Transparency and openness. And I'm sure you guys have found this too, you know, over the course of our parenting careers, you know, the more open and honest I am with myself, with the people around me, with my kids, you know, about what's going on with them, what's going on with us, what's going on at home, what's going on with their meds, what's going, you know, just what's going on. Gosh, it makes things a heck of a lot easier, you know, and, I had an interesting experience with my own mother who thought that it was critically important to share with my children the mistakes that I made in high school and grade school and even in college. And while I appreciate her willingness to kind of normalize some of those mistakes or at least let my kids know that, you know, everyone makes mistakes, I think it's also about how we package that. You know, so it's about, I think, and I'm just kind of talking in general here, and I'm probably meandering a wee bit, so slow me down if I'm getting too far off topic. But, you know, it is about being open and honest with ourselves and with others, as it says in the book. It is about accepting our kids, accepting ourselves, you know, taking responsibility for our mistakes. It's also making it okay to make mistakes, you know, and letting them know that as we talk about failing forward, getting back up again and trying again, you know, and being successful all through the failures, and how that's just more information for us in terms of ways to put together next steps and plans and learning more about ourselves. But back to the tales told by our extended family members, I think there's a way to shape and frame that too. So not only is it important to be honest about where we've been, what we've done, where we've come from, but it's also about how we put it together, right? And I found that hearing my mom tell these stories to my kids was a bit of a trigger for me, because I did not want them to think that some of those actions were acceptable. And while, yes, there are stories that and events that happened and that I take full responsibility for, I wanted to manage that piece of the telling. And so I had to be open and honest with my mom, and that made it actually kind of took us to a new space in the sort of adult parent, adult child relationship, and about, you know, it was actually a really good conversation to have, and we ended up having it in front of my kids, which I think was, you know, it ended up being a good thing. But I suppose my point is that honesty is the best policy in general, and it can also lead to really amazing conversations about feeling uncomfortable and where that comes from and what that's about, you know, and is it about what lessons you heard as a kid and what lessons are we, you know, giving to our kids, and sort of that whole kind of, you know, fun of the home. And when we're anxious about the future, and I'm anxious a lot, I figure out ways to get through it. But looking back, I see now that my primary challenge to overcome, aside from being an adult with ADHD, is anxiety and that lack of ability to control things and that fear that comes with it. And if I can admit that to my kids, and I see that in my kids too, that whole interoception that you were talking about, Melanie, that a lot, you know, my daughter is, I can tell when she's upset about something or something's bugging her, because right away, even at 18 years old, her stomach is upset. I don't feel well. I think I'm coming down with something. And most of the time, she's not coming down with anything. She's just emotionally uncomfortable about something and trying to sort through it. And so, again, openness, honesty, transparency, being able to say, hey, let's look at this. You know, have you ever noticed that this happens when you say you're feeling this way, your stomach feels this way? It usually means this. It may not this time, but it might. And I know I've just kind of gone all over the place with transparency and openness, but hopefully there's something in there that's, you know, standing out for you, or something that's coming up that reminds you of a situation where you found that being open and honest or transparent about your motives or where you came from or what happened or why you want to, you know, circle back to something and maybe apologize or explain why you did something, either with your kid, for your kid, around your kid. Maybe something comes up in there that you want to share. So just jump in.
Yeah. So for me, what comes up is always that balance between transparency and too much information.
Exactly.
Like, and for me, usually the metric is, will this increase Margaret's distress and ability to cope with the world, or will this help her understand and work with it better? So to get back to my previous rant, you know, the way the psychiatrist was talking was the sort of talk that, you know, makes her feel less in control and less certain and more worried about the future. Uh-huh. And the way I like to talk about it with Margaret is, you know, we're going to go to some experts who know a lot about brains so we can find out more about how your brain works so that we can do a better job of supporting you and your unique brain, you know, as mm-hmm. opposed to, hey, we're going to do a couple of days of testing to find out if you fit the autism spectrum, which, like, is just not going to sell.
Right. Yeah.
But we're going to find more out about your brain so we know how to support you better. That, you know, it's the same information, but it's delivered differently and it has a different impact.
Exactly. Exactly.
One increases the sense of judgment and anxiety, and the other increases the sense of this is useful, this has a reason for buy-in. And in fact, increases perceptions of control, because our goal here is for her to be more in charge of herself. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly. kind of the metric that I'm looking for to distinguish, is it transparency or is it too much information? I'm also using it a lot to boundary set, so Margaret will want me to, you know, hold her on my lap for and read, you know, hundreds of pages at a time, her tolerance for this.
Oh, gosh.
And I will say, I know. How I read this morning, I read 3 chapters, and I said, now I need to get up and eat breakfast before I become a hungry mommy who is so grouchy that she starts yelling at people.
There you go. That's honest.
Honest and transparent. It gives her the information to go, oh, okay. Mommy is trying her best, but mommy also needs to take care of herself or bad things will happen.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah.
So
you're going to
try
miss
and
that
give
too,
that
right?
Kind
I mean,
of...
sure. There's nothing like the snuggle piece of it too. So it's
Oh yeah. Well,
yeah.
It's just the, you know, the too much aspect of it is the part.
Right. There's only so many hours.
Yeah. There's only so many hours that I can stand, especially since somebody is getting much larger. She's upsizing.
And you have other things you have to do too. I mean, legitimately.
Yes. I did clear my schedule for the day of the birthday. So on the day of the birthday, there will be nothing to do except for to ask what she wants to do next and have it be a yes day. But, you know, in general, there are other things that do need to happen.
Yes.
And
she's not an only child, so.
Just go, no, she is not an only child, and nor can we, you know, an hour and a half before we're supposed to get in the car to go to gymnastics, can we just go off to the swimming pool because – I know how fast she transitions. That's just not possible.
Some planning is definitely needed. You can't just go for a moment for sure. Maria, what's coming up for you? It sounds like you're being transparent and open and honest when you're working with your daughter on making this decision. At least that's what
came
to mind for me.
I told her, I said, you're not doing this for me, right? Because I really don't want you to, you know, if you don't want to do it, then I understand. And, you know, we've had many conversations over the last few months through the summer and even before everything ended. And she goes, well, I still want to dance, but I don't want to do company. And I'm like, well, so you only happy performing once? Well, you know, and she says, well, I just don't like all the classes. And I said, but I love to perform. Well, and I said, well, honey, that's the work that you have to do. You know, I said, you can't just, you know, walk out there and have this amazing performance if you're not practicing, especially, you know, when it's a ton of people that you're like a team that you're working with. I said, think about soccer or tennis or, you know, or football or basketball. People train every day, you know, to go out and have those great performances out on the court or the field or whatever. She goes, yeah, I get it. She says, it's just a lot. And it's a lot like balancing with school, you know, because, you know, she's a conscientious kid. She gets good grades, but she has to work super hard at it. And, you know, so, you know, things don't necessarily come easy to her, you know, and then she has that piddle factor. So, you know, it's, you know, like
I love that,
like
the
piddle
factor,
the distractibility, you know, of, you know, so she worked hard all day today, and she had a piano lesson, a intro to algebra, a tutoring session, and then she went upstairs and read like 3 chapters of a book that she's got to do for summer reading because they've got projects, 2 books, 2 projects they have to do. And so as soon as she got done, I mean, I was like, wow, you went up there and just started reading. And I went in there and she was like, you're interrupting me. Like, she didn't want to talk to me. So it's just all this balance that I'm, and I'm all over the board right now, you know, as far as.
That's all right.
Like,
I followed you perfectly.
But, you know, it's just, you know, I listening to, Melanie, I think it is.
Melanie.
And I'm like, oh,
yeah.
I wish that daughter, I missed the age where we sat and read and you know, and I miss that stage so much because now it's like, Mom, you're bothering me. I want to be by myself, you know. Can you knock before you come? So, you know, kind of all these emotions kind of going on and trying to, so in addition to, you know, kind of working through the anxiousness, it's my own emotional, you know, management and regulation about everything, and how I respond to things because, you know, just so much going on and trying to, just figure it all out. But being very transparent with her, so back to that, I just said, look, you know, you've got to want to do it. You've got to want to do this. It's really important that you're in it. And so I was so happy that she did that. And I just wanted to continue to be thinking about it. So we have until Monday to turn our contract. But anyway.
And so tell me about the part of you that's kind of sick, that's concerned, and that needs to, focus a little bit more on you.
Well,
where's that coming from?
So it's coming from things that I would like to do, things that I don't feel like I wanted to take a quick vacation, like little family weekend, just her and I, and run up and see, you know, our cousins and everything. And now, you know, to try to make that happen, it's almost, you know,
impossible.
It's not going to happen. You know, it's just about impossible. And it would have to be all done right. This weekend. 10 million things would have to fall into place. And so I'm kind of sick about the loss of that because normally we would have all of next week as well, but we don't because he's going to start, you know, this rigorous dance thing on Monday with auditions and then 4 to 5 hours of practice every single day for the entire week and into the weekend.
Yeah.
So there's just no break. They have 6 weeks till they put on the fall show. And so, I'm just, you know, I'm a little sick that all of a sudden her summer's kind of over, you know, like she has during the day, but then she doesn't have her, you know, like 4 to 9, 5 to 9 is kind of all taken up, you know?
So
I'm kind of, my sick feeling is a loss about that, a loss about not being able to go up to see our cousins. And just the overwhelm that I have of all the things that I need to get done that I'm trying to tackle, I don't feel successful at. You know, I'm just like, and I try to talk to myself through it and say, hey, just, you know, you've got organization that needs to happen here. So just, you know, work on this little area here and then, you know, give yourself a pat on the back when you finish it. And so that's, you know, what I've been doing because what happens is when we get real busy and we just kind of, you know, things stack up and stuff. I have problems with papers. I can keep a beautiful house, but the paper stuff is just, you know, really frustrating with everything. And so, and then that can make me, you know, like.
And it's visually overwhelming for you, it sounds like.
Well, it is. I'm a very visual person. So I like the bed made and just things in order. And when things are out of order, kind of. I find it clutters
your brain.
It clutters my brain, Well, if something's clean, I like to keep it that way. So I just
What's the baby steps look like?
A baby step looks like just... Go ahead.
I was just thinking about the trip. You mentioned it a couple times, and I'm wondering if there's a way... Could you go without her? Could you go... I mean, is there something in there that you can do...
Oh no, I wouldn't go without her. If we made it happen, I'd have to call the family, see if we could work it out, leave tomorrow. It'd be kind of stressful. Just like the thought of that.
Okay. Sometimes it's fun to just jump in the car and go and just be like, we're going. Just kind of suck
That might be a little too crazy and everything.
Too much.
Yeah.
So, no, I gotcha.
Might be too much.
Okay.
But
is there something you can do in the next couple weeks
to
see
about
them?
It? Okay.
No.
they're too far away. Yeah, it's just too far. But and she's like, oh, it wouldn't be worth it if we just went for 2 days, you know, because she kind of really she wants like more than just two days and everything. So now we have other family that's coming, other side of the family that we might get to see this weekend. So that can be kind of a nice thing too, you know, because we don't get to see them often enough either. And it'll be here versus, so that kind of takes, you know, some of the stress off of it, you know, because she's an only child, so she doesn't get that special time.
Sure. It sounds like you're grieving a little bit. My growing up piece. I was reading an article the other day about missing the snuggles and things like that, and the things that you don't even realize that you're gonna miss when your kids get older. And it was like, just the kissing goodnight or the hugs or the, you know, just being the. Now when I reach out and touch my eighth grader, he just kind of like throws my hand off, you know, like, don't touch me, Mom. And not in a mean way, just in a like, you know, a very teenage way. And there's those moments where I was like, oh, I didn't know we were there already. Okay. You know, and all of a sudden we're there.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's what you're feeling. That's what I was sensing. But if that's completely off base, I apologize. But
No, because sometimes she's like that, and sometimes she'll hold my hand. You're like, and, you know, sometimes she doesn't want anything to do with me. Like, I walk in a room, and she's like, I need my privacy and my space. I'm like, oh, geez, you know. And
I'm leaving.
So, and then other times, not, you know, so it just depends. But, no, you know, she's an only child, and we live in a neighborhood where she doesn't really have any friends in the neighborhood that she can
hard.
Hang out with. So that's a stressor for me, because, especially when she was younger. You know, finding, you know, like leave the neighborhood and stuff. But she's had some great sleepovers this week. We had one at our house. She had one at another friend's house. They were great times for her.
Good.
But, I just wanted to have that family time. So I think, you know, if we get to see our other family, you know, it won't be the same family, but it'll be making those memories and connecting with people, you know, that you don't get to see all the time, which is what's important to me. And it's important to her, too. So we used to live around a lot of family, and now we don't. And and so that's, you know, that's kind of a hard thing, you know, is to not be by them anymore, you know, by ourselves. So anyway.
So what can we do to take the stress off of you, though? What's a good baby step with respect to your self-care or, you know, something in all that organizing and stuff that you need to get done that you can either delegate or, you know, I'm not sure what the solution is, but I'd like to see if there's something that comes up.
Chipping away at it. Not stressing over, you know, like getting as much done as I can. Don't ignore it. You know, keep working at it and give myself, you know, just kudos for just kind of working at it. Bit by bit, and
what are your like yay me rewards look like?
A yay me reward. Oh, geez, that's
so like if you work for an hour and you get stuff done, and you've done a whole hour, and you're like, okay, all right, awesome, I'm gonna stop now. But you know, what do you typically do to celebrate yourself? Is it like a dessert? Is it watching a movie? Going through a magazine? Is it taking a nap, going for a walk?
Well, maybe it would be I don't know. I don't think I do enough of that probably. And right now I'm on this elimination diet because I have this.
Oh, dear.
That is driving me crazy. So I'm like, you know, just trying to talk myself through, you can do this, you can do this. And then I'm like, you know, I need to call and make this appointment for myself to get in. I kind of was trying to wait until school started because I didn't want to take that time away from us being able to do anything, whether it just be running errands or doing something fun. Because I just feel like since we've been back on our trip, she and I haven't done enough fun stuff together, you know? So that's why I wanted that trip up to see the family and stuff. But, But anyway, I just have to figure it out. And so a baby step for me at this point would be, after I do some stuff, maybe I'll schedule a massage at some point. That I have these gift certificates that I haven't used that are a year old. This is like the not taking, the celebrating me
care of yourself.
Enough.
Yeah, I was going to say that. Yeah. That was as nonspecific and as vague as I could possibly hope for. You're like, maybe I will at some point do this with the I might do.
Yeah.
I'm going to push you on that one, maybe, if you'll let me.
Yeah,
the massage is the thing.
Yep.
Is it realistic that you might call and book the appointment? Not that you'll have the appointment, but is it realistic to maybe call and book the appointment? You know, just call. You don't have to have the appointment sometime in the next month, but will you call and make an appointment or make that phone call sometime in the next month?
Yeah, I could do that. I do. I need to do it because I think it'll help everything. My stress level, maybe it'll help my gut. Thinking about, I need to take time to do yoga again, which I used to do it very frequently, and I haven't been doing it. So I think doing some yoga, like after I do some things around the house that have to get done, or some things for my daughter that need to get done, or my husband or my mother or whatever, that I just, you know, take 10 minutes and do some yoga. And, or take a nap, or sit down and read a book. Some of those things that just kind of.
So you're going to do something on that list.
I am. I'm going to do something on that list. And as a matter of fact, when I get done with our call tonight, I'm going to get my daughter and we're going to sit and watch a series of shows we've been watching on Netflix. So.
Ooh, which one?
Stranger Things.
Umbrella Academy.
Yeah.
Is it Stranger Things?
What's that? Yeah.
Stranger Things.
Yeah. Have you seen it?
I sure have.
Does your eighth grader watch
it? I love it. No. Well, he's not supposed to. I think he actually has been watching it. But yeah, my my college junior and my college freshman, we watch it. We haven't watched it together, but we kind of check in with each other. Have you seen the whole thing yet?
Yeah.
I won't tell you what happens at the end. Yeah.
Have not.
Gotcha.
I think we're only on episode 6. But, you know, and so I've got to give you a quick backstory. So my daughter had heard about the show. She goes, Mom, everybody's talking about this show at school. And I'm like, well, what show is it? And she told me. So I bought the season 1 for a Christmas gift. And I'm thinking, so when first we all sat down and watched it as a family, and we're all like, oh, my gosh, this is not the content we normally she's never seen this, you know, like in our presence anyway. This is not like stuff that we say, yeah, you can watch whatever you watch, you know, like we've got boundaries and parameters and everything.
Well, sure. Yeah,
so
yeah.
But I used it as a teaching moment of, hey, you know, this is real life. Yep, this stuff does happen. And not gonna, you know, this is not acceptable. We don't talk like this, act like this, do these things, you know, the things that I felt were, well, if I ever hear these things out of your mouth, this would be a big issue, you know? And so I tried to really kind of let her know, you know, but she, you know, like, so we fast forward through some things, we have our eyes closed over some things and, you know, but she, you know, but it's like this year, like, because we're watching it together, you know, like, you know, I say, okay, and she won't watch it without me. Like she knows, she says, I know I can't watch it without you. So she won't watch ahead, you know? And, so she respects those boundaries and everything. And I appreciate that. But, and so we'll talk about stuff, you know, like why that's not, you know, like the right way to be and everything. Yeah. But we like certain parts of the storyline we think are, you know, kind of cool. And,
well, I mean, it's silly, and scary.
Yeah,
and
silly stuff, but it's silly and scary, but it's kind of fun and, you know.
Melanie, how about you? What's a baby step that you can take?
Yeah, I think I need to make sure that I've built in downtime for myself during during the weekend. I think my mental model is that I would be kind of available and taking care of everybody else during the weekend, but in actuality, I need to find times and ways to just retreat and not feel like that's a problem.
Okay. And is that something that's possible? I mean, is there space within the visit for you to kind of duck out, or what does that usually look like?
Yeah, there should be. There should be, especially if I just kind of mentally tag it as, you know, how long has it been since I've taken a break, and just kind of tap out when I need to.
Okay. And is there, do you need like a code word or something with your husband or with other people, or do you just go?
No, I just like having it for myself and just kind of being able to ask myself, when was the last time I was all by myself where I wasn't sitting in the bathroom? And then if it's been more than 2 or 3 hours, to like go arrange to like sneak up for a little while.
Okay.
Even if it's only 5 or 10 minutes.
Is that enough time, 5 or 10 minutes?
Probably not, but it's better than none.
True. Okay. Is there any way to, I don't know, kind of pre-plan, or, I know you can't pre-plan for everything that's going to happen, but is there
we're already kind of loosey-goosey in our planning, so it's going to be just more opportunistic and basically not just watching where everybody else's mood and tolerances are, but just like putting mine up front.
Yeah. Is there some forgiveness in there too? It sounds like maybe forgiveness for you, for them. I'm not sure which.
I don't know so much forgiveness, but just, you know, compassion for tolerances, I guess would be a way of putting it, that,
okay,
you know, I don't need to make myself tolerate more because that's what a person who is hosting ought to do, kind of thing, but just like, you know, I need to pace myself because it just doesn't feel like this has been a pacing myself kind of month, year,
okay,
decade, I don't know. just respecting that I don't really feel like I have a lot of extra reserves at the moment.
Sure. Okay. Well, that's good. I mean, recognizing that and honoring that, I think, is important too, right? You know, it's one thing to know you're overwhelmed, and it's another thing to know what that looks like and how that's going to come out, you know, or where it's going to work out.
I'm not actually overwhelmed. I'm about 2 notches back from overwhelmed, which is good because I've spent years in the overwhelmed part. But, you know, I'm definitely not well far back into chill zone.
Okay. You're at functional stress?
Yeah, functional stress. That's a good way of putting it.
Okay.
I mean, I still have some rise to the occasion left in me, I guess, is another way of putting it.
You still have some rise to the occasion left in you. I'm hoping for more for all of us.
I'm just, you know, staking a claim that rise to the occasion is going to take a higher bar than it has in the past.
Okay. And if that doesn't happen, is that going to be okay?
You know, I will cope. Yeah. If it doesn't happen, I will be okay. But I think it's possible, doable for me to kind of set that kind of a boundary.
Okay. And you don't have any trouble asking for what you need?
Generally
sharing
not.
Where you are.
Generally not, although, I mean, it,
what
it
might
depends.
Get in the way?
Well, the thing that gets in the way is, you know, I can ask for what I need, but if other people are more overwhelmed with their needs and they don't have space mm-hmm. for my needs, that's
right.
the most likely thing that can get in the way. You know, that I'm dealing with more needy people and fewer competent people. And I think the answer to that might be, you know, that's gonna maybe tip the scales on, you know, how much I try to do of the cooking versus just say, hey, we're eating out, done. Or we'll order enough, uh-huh. done. It's that sort
okay.
of thing where I can find places that simplification can happen that can take some of the burden off of me if other people aren't in this position of rising to the occasion.
Okay, good. No, that sounds great. You're giving yourself permission to do what you need to do and not stress about it.
Yep. And if the cupcakes come from Kroger, the cupcakes come from Kroger.
Exactly. No one ever has to know, or no one really cares. Depends on how you look at it. I mean, truly. I know people that, you know, take them out of the boxes and pretend that they didn't come from, I mean, and then there's people who don't even care about the cupcakes, right? So it's all
right,
about
right.
what works for you. Perfect.
Exactly.
All right. So what
so,
are we taking away
so
today,
we're just
lady?
Gonna make that happen.
Oh, sorry, go ahead. So what are we taking away today?
I have a plan. And a commitment
okay.
to simplify as often as necessary to give myself a break.
Okay. Good. I like that. Maria, how about you?
Like redefine ramen as fine dining. Sorry.
Yeah. It is.
My takeaway is be open with myself and transparent with myself as I would be, you know, with my child and my family in general, and just kind of break down, you know, why am I having these, you know, feelings, and recognize that some of them are, it's just me and my ADHD, and others is just trying to pack too much in, and which is part of that, the ADD thing.
Yeah.
And just kind of, you know, like recognizing that, because it's like, you know, the trying to get one more thing in and, you know, one more thing, itis is
yes.
just trying to not sweat it and not worry about it, not get recognize, be transparent with yourself and say, hey, you're overwhelmed. What are you going to do about it? And, you know, just chip away at it, break it down and do what you can, whether it's, and that could be any, you know, lots of different things. You know, it could be, you know, having a good cry for 5 minutes and then moving on. It could be setting a timer and saying, okay, I'm going to work on this for 15 minutes and then I have to go.
Mm-hmm.
Or it could be talking with somebody about, you know, a situation. And so.
Okay. Is there a piece in there that's about, oh, I don't know, is there some perfectionism in there? Is there good enough, or does it all have to be done just so? Or I guess, yeah, that's awfully common
no.
women who have ADHD. Okay, good.
Well, I used to be such a perfectionist, and I'm really let go a lot of that. I would say 99.9% of it. You know, like I like a neat.
Are you
trying
to be perfectionist about perfectionism?
No.
Sorry, I caught myself doing that sometimes.
99.9%.
Sure. I'm just aiming for 80% myself. Yeah.
Most of the time, I'm not. But every once in a while, I'm like, oh, let's not get into that perfectionism mode again. And I can really
okay.
pick out, like, when my mom does it, I'm like, hey, I'm not perfect. don't judge me. You know, you parented this way. I'm parenting this way. Don't judge me, you know. So, yeah, I can.
And do you say that? Don't judge me?
Sometimes, yeah.
Okay, good. I think that's part of that whole, you know, open, transparent thing. I mean, you know, I think that's great.
Yeah. I think people overjudge people.
I think we think people overjudge people. I think, I agree. I think that there's times when, yeah, I know I'm being judged, and there's probably 99 times where I think I'm being judged where the other person isn't thinking about me at all. It's just trying to
figure out
which. Exactly.
I know.
Exactly.
It's hard.
I'm pretty sure my mom is always judging me, so I'm right there with you. That's a whole different scenario.
I completely... What did I say my takeaway was? Because I completely forgot to... on the mom first thing, one of my favorite quotables is somebody was talking about trigger management and asking, you know, is it ever possible to get past all your triggers? And, you know, some people say yes, some people say no. And the speaker said, but I've gotten it down to the only person who triggers me is my mom, and that's as it should be. Because that's where all the original issues came from, anyhow. And she triggers me less than she used to. I know that one just cracks me up.
Progress.
No, nobody else triggers me except my mom. That's a worthy goal to aim for.
Yeah, there you go. And it's a universal too, right? There's some normalization there. Okay, everyone else gets triggered by their mom too, or most everyone else does. That's funny. Perfect. All right, ladies.
Maybe not the Dalai Lama,
but,
you know, whatever.
Yeah. True. 99.9% of the population, or 0.8 maybe. Oh, too funny. Okay, well, good work today. Anything that's kind of floating around that feels unsettled or that you need to bring up or want to kind of touch base on before we wrap up for the night?
I don't know if this is off topic or not. Melanie, do you have something you want to say first? Because I might wind it.
Well, I just want to know, you know, I just need permission from, well, I don't need permission, but I'd like validation from Jeremy on hating on the psychiatrist that I was ranting about.
So here's the thing. You know your kid better than anyone, and you are an excellent judge of people, character, situations. And so go with your gut, you know, I mean, I try to give everyone two chances. If the second appointment is as painful as the first, then you know what to do.
Yeah. I do know what to do. And the thing that's going to make the difference for me is if she shows any evidence of having read the file between the first and the second appointment, because she certainly hasn't had any evidence of reading it before the first one.
Okay. Perfect. Yeah, so you've got a parameter already identified. You know what you're going to look for. There's no reason to make your kid see someone who is not a good diagnostician or is not, you know, doesn't have a good bedside manner. and you know that. That's just going to make things worse. And
exactly.
You have to have a level of trust.
You not need
that even if they are. Right. Even if he comes back with an accurate diagnosis, you're not going to trust it because you don't trust him.
Well, you're absolutely right.
Cool. Well, you're right. I'm just echoing what you said.
Yeah.
Okay. Does that feel better?
Yeah. Thank you.
All right, Maria, what's coming up?